Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Taiwan Mobile's conference call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Cliff Lai and Ms. Vivian Xu. Mr. Lai and Ms. Xu, please begin your call. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to our first quarter conference call. Before I start our presentation on first Q results, I would like to direct your attention to our disclaimer page, which states, "The information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or development referred to in this presentation. In the next three slides, I would like to highlight our growth areas. First, on wireless data. In first quarter, despite a 4.8% YOY mobile voice revenue decline due to the regulatory interventions, we still managed to increase mobile service revenue by 1% on the back of 46% YOY growth in the wireless data revenue. In terms of data revenue growth and data revenue percentage of the mobile service revenue, Taiwan Mobile is ahead of the pack in the first quarter. As a result, we reported the highest mobile ARPU among the big three. For our smartphone strategy, apart from the 10 smart devices we have introduced so far this year, we currently have more than 20 smart devices on the market. Smartphone users' ARPU remain at more than 2 times that of postpaid, and their payback periods are very similar. Our smartphone sales volume in first quarter grew 180% from a year ago as a result of more mid-range smart devices sales. As indicated in the table, our internet subscriber number increased of 18% and DTV customer number growth of 160% are all higher than 3% subscriber rise in analog TV services in the first quarter. This has contributed to a 3% YOY increase in blended ARPU for HBG. Given that only 25% of our customers are using our internet services and 5.3% of our customers have subscribed to digital TV services, we expect further expansion in the internet and DTV service take-up. It is worth mentioning that cable internet ARPU was up 3% from a year ago, with 65% of our newly acquired customers subscribing to 10 meg or above series in first quarter, up from 42% a year ago. Now, let me turn to Vivian for our financial overview.
For the first quarter consolidated revenue and EBITDA surpassed our expectations and achieved 25% and 24% of full year guidance respectively, mainly due to better than expected wireless data revenue, as well as higher than expected handset sales. Separately, first quarter non-operating expenses also came in less than guidance due to fewer than expected asset write-off losses. As such, our net profit achieved 25% of full-year guidance. However, full-year write-off loss will stay as guided. Please turn to the next page for the divisional performance. For the first quarter, the company's increased smartphone business subsidies were largely offset by strong data revenue growth and savings from G&A. Nevertheless, CBG's EBITDA still reported a decline, attributed mainly to the mandatory tariff cut and lower fixed to mobile tariff regulatory by NCC. HBG's profit rise came from better economics of scale, sending its EBITDA margin to a new high of 51.9%, and a higher blended ARPU as explained by Cliff in previous slides. EBG's first quarter profit growth is underpinned by rising enterprise mobile and roaming revenue, coupled with the content expenses. For the first quarter, both EBG's and HBG's EBITDA maintain a healthy double-digit YOY growth and made up 22% of total EBITDA. Let's hand over to Rosie for the details of the financial numbers.
Cash balance at the end of first quarter remained stable from the previous quarter, while inventories were up as a result of more smartphone procurement. Net PP&E at the end of first quarter continued trending down, with depreciation and asset write-offs higher than CapEx. Our gross debt balance fell to $9.36 billion due to a $4.6 billion debt repayment in the quarter, which caused net debt to further decline to $3.4 billion NT, or just 0.13, or 13% of EBITDA. Now let's look at cash flow analysis. Our operating cash flow for the quarter decreased by $1.6 billion quarter-on-quarter due to a reduction in payables. In addition, a drop in EBITDA also resulted in a year-on-year decline in the first quarter operating cash flow. First quarter investing cash outflow was similar to previous levels. Cash capex was on track and accounted for 7% of total revenues in the first quarter. We estimate group capex to be more back-end loaded, and the full-year capex guidance of $6.4 billion to remain unchanged. On the $4.6 billion debt repayment, it was mainly for the it was the main cash outflow for financing activities during the quarter. Free cash flow of $4.7 billion generated in the first quarter was equivalent to around 7% annualized yield. On the second quarter guidance, as you may all recall, we expect both revenue and EBITDA to trend up sequentially with slightly higher asset write-off losses. And our second quarter EPS is estimated to be $1.1, which is equal to that of the first quarter. So let me turn this over to Vivian for event update and key message.
TWM4 meeting this morning has approved a proposal to distribute 12.4 billion NT dollars of cash dividends, or 90% payout to shareholders. Dividend per share is 4.16 NT dollar per share, as our 100% owned affiliates agreed to forfeit their share of dividends from Taiwan Mobile. Some regulatory update on this page are for your reference. And the next page for the new products and services we launched during the first quarter and the awards we recently received is also for your reference. And the last page to wrap up our presentation, this slide summarizes the key messages that we would like to deliver. Our thrust into smartphone penetration has paid off in the first quarter in helping mitigations of the impact from regulatory invention. Pending approval from the FTC, the Momo acquisition, as announced, will further support our driver to diversify into other core business. Meanwhile, regulatory uncertainty remains, Taiwan Mobile will step up our efforts to grow non-voice business to enhance shareholder returns. That's all about we would like to say, and we would like to open the time for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to register for questions, please press number one on your telephone touchpad. Once again, it's number one to register for questions. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press number one on your telephone touchpad. Our first question is coming from Mr. Alan Lin from BNP Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, hey, thank you for taking the call. I have a couple of pretty straightforward questions regarding the smartphone portion here. Back to page 5 of your presentation, you talked about the smartphone sales. If you kind of measure it from smartphone penetration as a percentage of total subscribers, what percentage are you seeing in Q1 and what do you estimate will be in 2020? In Q2, and then the second part of the question is all related to that. Of the 209,000 smartphone handsets sold, what percentage of that is compared to the total handsets sold during the quarter?
As regards to the first question, if I recall correctly, our smartphone user penetration rate is roughly maybe between 10 or 15% of the total subscribers. Is 10 to 15%.
Right.
Okay, and for 200,000 smartphone sales in the first quarter is roughly 57% of our total phone set sales.
Do you expect 57% to increase further in Q2 or pretty much about that same level?
We expect to be roughly the same level because the iPhone has entered to the end of the product life cycle. So people are waiting for the next generation of iPhone. So the iPhone sales will drop off in the second quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. To register for a question, please press 1. And our next questions come from Mr. Ravi from Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to ask questions and congratulations on your results. A quick follow-up on the smartphone answers that you just gave. Couple of questions. The first one is, does your smartphone, the smartphone additions and the way you define smartphone, does that include Symbian? And if so, what percentage of your current smartphone installed base would you say are Symbian? The next question is, of the 57% of ads that come from smartphone, what percent would you say in the period were from the iPhone and from Symbian if they're included in there?
Okay, this is a very good question because different operators have different definition of the smartphone. As far as we are concerned, our definition of smartphone is Symbian 3 and above. So we don't consider Symbian 40 or 50, they are smartphones. So when I talk about the penetration rate, it's really Symbian 3, Android, Windows, and iPhone, this kind of platform. So if you consider Symbian, the penetration rate of smartphone will be even higher. Okay, but our definition will only include Symbian 3 above to be considered a smartphone.
Understood. In terms of that Symbian contribution, a quick follow-up, if you were to strip out Symbian completely as, much lower usage dynamics, global average, and, effectively a dead operating system arguably going forward, what percent of your overall smartphone, smartphone base would that basis be any of those Symbian that you define as smart?
Yeah, So if we include Symbian, then the Symbian consists of 19% of our install base. So if we consider Symbian,
yep,
it's also a smartphone platform, then 90% of our install base, smartphone install base, is a Symbian.
Thank you very much. Understood. Okay. Understood. And if you were to strip out the Symbian 3 and above, which you do see as smartphone, what percent would those be on your current definition? What percent of that current definition is the Symbian 3 and above, which you look at as smart?
The 19% of install base that Cliff just mentioned actually is the Symbian 3 and above phones that we refer to. So we did not include all the Symbian phones into the calculation of smartphones.
Understood. So the 10 to 15% doesn't include any of the 19%, which is Symbian.
The smartphone penetration does include 19% of smartphone users using Symbian 3 and above.
Understood. Thank you very much. Fully understood.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, to register for a question, please press 1. And we have a follow-up questions come from Mr. Ravi from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask a couple of quick follow-up questions, if I may. In terms of the average usage in megabits per month for your smart subscribers, I was wondering if you had a feel for what those numbers were at and, you know, what was happening to those numbers, you know, sequentially, whether they were stable, going up, or coming down.
Sequentially, well, our data usage for smartphones averages about 500 meg. For iPhone, it's about 900 meg. But you are also asking for sequential change, right?
Yeah, roughly the trend there that you're seeing.
It's going up, it's still going up.
Understood. And a quick follow-up, if I may. What percent of your smartphone subs would be iPhone?
You mean in terms of total smartphone users?
Exactly, yep.
In the first quarter or just on average?
Total. So of the total number of smartphone users you have on your network, what percent will be iPhone? I'm just trying to get a feel for
well,
what percent it represents.
Let me give you the number.
Yep.
It's about 25%.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Joseph Prin from Macquarie, Taiwan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just got two brief questions. The first one, can you explain a little bit more about where your current lease lines are as a percentage of internal lines? And can you also give us a little bit more color in terms of the fiber to base station for your base stations currently? Is that percentage going to increase? What's your targets for year end? And the final question is on the competition from the data ARPU side. At the moment, it doesn't seem like there's very much competition between data ARPUs between yourselves, Chunghwa, and Far EasTone. I'm just wondering, do you feel anything in particular would trigger this? Would maybe competition from the smaller guys increase this potential for a decrease in data ARPU?
To answer your first question on the lease line, our internal lease line now accounts for 83%. And we are still trying hard to improve the ratio as much as we can.
And sorry, can you, in terms of those lease lines, do you have a certain percentage of fiber to your base stations at this stage?
All of them are fiber.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and we have our follow-up questions come from Mr. Ravi from Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Quick question on page 14 on the regulatory update. Clearly, the executive one has already passed, as far as I understand it, the law, the critical law around, you know, which was the block for Cabro. Interesting in terms of that liberalization of Cat V competition across regions. Do you have any color or feel for, you know, the likely progress and timing of that moving through the legislative yuan going forward?
No, we don't have any clues as to the timeline.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next follow-up questions come from Mr. Joseph Crane from Macquarie, Taiwan. Please go ahead.
Sorry, can you just, have you got any comments, sorry, on the data ARPU competition?
We don't see there will be severe data ARPU competition in for this year, because I think APTG or Vivo will not pose any threat in the near term, as far as I can see in this year. So I think with the current revenue, I think all the operators try to maintain data ARPU, because we see a decrease of voice ARPU. So, and since the data ARPU is our major driver, I don't foresee there will be a serious competition in this arena to further drive down the data ARPU.
And just to elaborate a little bit on this issue, as you all know that APT and Vivo have been exercising stringent financial discipline, because for APT, they haven't really turned into EVDO, and for Vivo, they just don't have the muscle to spend more. So the competition on this particular front should be rather limited to the big three, and the big three are still quite rational.
Okay, thank you. And can I just follow up in terms of the competition between yourselves? When I look at the different packages that's offered between the three of you, it does seem that Chunghwa tends to be a little bit marginally cheaper. However, what I'm more concerned about is that when you move to higher speed packages and you maybe offer two different packages, do you think that those packages are offered at a significant premium to the existing rates, or do you have to offer them at what the current rates are and discount back from there?
This year we are considering to launch the 21 Met service, HSPA Plus service, but we are still waiting for NCC's approval regarding the new tariff, and NCC have different ideas and opinions regarding how much we can charge for this new more higher speed data service. So we are still working with NCC to finalize the pricing. So we don't know whether we can offer a data service pricing significantly higher than the current one.
Okay, so on that, that's what I'm more curious of. If you can't offer it higher than the current one, do you offer the current existing package, so the current speeds, do they become cheaper?
I don't think so. We are not considering that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next follow-up questions come from Mr. Ravi from Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Three quick follow-ups, if I may. The first one is, again, toward data pricing. Kind of, you know, flipping the discussion on its head and looking at, you know, this explosion in data usage, you know, 50 times to 90 times a voice user for a smartphone in terms of megabits. Do you see on a strategic 12, 24-month view the possibility that you'll move from flat rate to tiered pricing which would imply, of course, a market increase in data pricing. And as an adjunct to that, in terms of the mandatory tariff decreases, would that be doable within the structure of the basket? Second question is, putting together the 19% of your smartphone subs which come from Symbian 3 and above, the 25% which are iPhone, would it be fair to then triangulate based on the fact that it's too early for Windows Mobile 7 and Windows CE was, you know, terrible, that 55% roughly are Android?
From our point of view, we would like to have a tiering pricing to offer a higher speed mobile internet service. But as I said, we are still trying to talk with NCC to try to see whether they agree. So we don't have a time frame for that, because that's really up to NCC.
And just on that tiering about speed, what about tiering associated with data usage?
This is something that NCC also has its view. Because currently the package we offer is unlimited, and doesn't have any data, doesn't involve how much data are involved. So NCC thinks this is the kind of pricing they would like to have.
Okay. And the follow-up on the 55% from Android based on the 25 for iPhone and the 19 for Symbian.
Android now accounts for slightly over 40%.
Okay.
As to the future estimates, Cliff will give you more color on that.
I think Android will eventually grow to more than 50%.
Agreed. So just doing the math, so you've got 19% of your smartphone subs from Symbian, 25% from iPhone of your installed base, and 40%, I think I might be missing something on the math. Which is the bit that I'm missing? Because I can't imagine that BlackBerry and Windows make up the balance so much.
Right. 40, 25. So 50, 25. So the rest is Windows Mobile and BlackBerry.
Is that high? 15%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And that's presumably because it's a bit early for Windows Mobile 7. Windows CE was awful. So that's lion's share BlackBerry, right?
Oh, that's really Windows, because even though Windows 7 is not successful in Taiwan, because up to now they don't have a Chinese version of Windows 7, but Windows mobile phones do have a significant install base, right? They use them 6.5 or 6.0.
Understood. Thank you very much. And final question, if I may, and again a strategic question. Just looking at the trajectory of your numbers, would it be fair to say that on a run rate basis, you know, by the end of this year, say the fourth quarter / first quarter of next year, you know, the incremental data ARPUs that we're seeing would fully offset certainly offset declines in voice, but also offset, you know, the incremental burden of handset subsidies, or would that be more like a little bit later?
Sure. According to our estimates, it will make up for the decline in voice revenues. So that's our expectation.
And probably next financial year, when it also makes up for the increased investment in handset subsidies and the drag there?
Yes.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press 1. There's another follow-up question come from Mr. Ravi from Citi Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Final question. Don't want to overstay my welcome with too many questions on the call, but In terms of early stage data points for tablet usage, I know it's been pretty much a one-horse race thus far, but we're probably going to see, as of the Consumer Electronics Show last year, the next phase being, you know, a whole plethora of tablets in different flavors as the second generation. Any early data points in terms of tablet usage in megabits per month terms?
1.5 gig.
1 to 1.5 gig. Okay, so circa 1.5 times, circa 1.4 times an iPhone. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And presumably that's the lion's share of that is iPad right now, right?
Yes, because the install base is mostly iPad 1.
Got it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Lai. It seems to be no further question at this point in time, sir. Mr. Lai, it seems to be no further questions. You can wrap up the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference.